This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Jeannie and Tracy. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're located right at 814 Elm Street. And if you haven't had lunch or you're trying to figure out where to go and eat lunch, you can come right on down to Midtown Cafe and you can come and watch the show. And also, if you could go to Facebook and go to Food for Thought with Carol and like us on Facebook so you can get interactive with us. And we're going to be having some trivia questions on there for you to be able to win some prizes. So you can check it out. Facebook, Food for Thought with Carol. So welcome to Food for Thought. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Just mile a minute. That's what yes. It's all been about. It's crazy.
Don't you find it's a little easier to be mile a minute on a day like today? And I realize it's only like 36 degrees maybe, but it's inching toward 40. And I got out of the car. Yes. Without another coat on.
I know.
And even just strolling around to, you know, do my errands and get my stuff, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling a little zippier.
A little peppier.
It's nice out.
Like right now, I just went to Connect outside and, you know, usually I'll run out to see if it's on and then run back in. I ran out and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's nice out
here. You're strolling instead of running.
Yeah. It's really nice.
Well, we want to say thank you so much to our Food for Thought sponsors, Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord, ExpressJewelryNH.com for precision repair and sales, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company, Belmont Hall and Restaurant at 718 Grove Street in Manchester, BelmontHall.net for top quality foods made fresh over 50 years, Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-through in Londonderry, redarrowdiner.com. Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, celesteoliva.com, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. Also, they have fresh pasta and honey to add to their line. New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought at newenglandcoffee.com.
There we go.
So we have got a fantastic show lined up for today.
We do.
We are looking forward to speaking with Jean Kerr of Northeast Flavor.
Yep, and she's the editor-in-chief, so that's going to be exciting. This magazine is just beautiful. So yes.
It is, and there's so many areas to delve into from that. And then later on in the program, you know, Carol teased us a little bit yesterday by talking about all of her fun adventures at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, as well as the Cole Winter Farmers Market. It is a mouthful, but
it is, because I always mix up. I always say want to go Wilton, like Winter and Tilton mixed together, because it just doesn't fly off my tongue correctly.
Yeah, it doesn't. But however you say it, you need to get there. And if you can't get there or didn't get there yet, you are going to get there virtually by hearing about Carol's travels,
my adventures
in the second hour of the program. Yes. So we're looking forward to that.
Definitely.
There you go. Yeah. And I just want to say one little thing. Like, if you do go like us on Facebook, Food for Thought with Carol, I have been picturing my travels there. Like, every time I go and I'm on a machine, I've been snapping a picture. So Amy's been, you know, setting up this little album thing, if you may. If I may say, of me at the gym. So it's proof that I'm at the gym.
Okay.
It's almost like it's like, you know, for me too, like, huh, I'm here.
So does that give you a little more pressure to get up and go in the morning?
It's good. I get up. Well, you know what happened this morning? I normally don't wake up at 5:30 in the morning. That's like way early for me. But Daryl lost his keys. He actually couldn't find them all weekend. So, you know, yesterday we're like looking for his keys. He didn't work yesterday. looking for his keys, can't find them. He's like, well, you're going to have to, because him and his worker meet at the right near the copper door, which is, you know, right near our house. So I said, he says, well, you bring me to the copper door at, you know, 6:15. I go, well, why can't Jamie come pick you up at the house? You know, at first I'm like, what? And then I'm like, all right, fine, I'll bring you. And then I'm like, you know what? I got a busy morning, so I'll go work out early. And
get
you
it
know.
Out of the way.
So wake up 5:30. I'm like, oh, gosh, give me a break. But, you know, it's just once I get up out of bed, yes. I'm fine.
Yep.
And I put all my gym clothes on. I come down to the kitchen. What do you think happened?
Found the keys.
Of course. He found his
in
keys.
In the coffee maker or something.
He's like, I found my keys. I'm like, what? There was like a second where I almost went back to bed.
I was just going to say that.
Ooh,
have you ever had
second.
That argument with yourself priority. When you're up and then you realize you don't have to be up? I'm like, do I go back to bed? Or do I work out? Or do I clean the house? Or do I do something that I didn't have time for?
Especially that it was 5:45.
Yeah.
But I did.
It's
I did
a, in front of it.
You know, I loaded a laundry and I picked up and, you know, it was actually really good. And then I went and worked out, came back, did a couple more things. House was all in order and went off to my meeting and here I am. So,
we
yeah,
are glad
it was
that
good.
You're here. See,
yeah.
So it was an ambitious, not the but way you pictured it unfolding, but it worked.
No, but it worked. It did. So you asked me what the food holiday was today.
I did.
Tracy?
I did.
Today, ooh, it's a good one. Ooh, and I love these. Today is National Blueberry Popover Day.
Oh,
I love popovers.
Nice.
Popover. As you can see. I don't eat popovers regularly. I don't remember the last time I had a popover, but I do. King Arthur Flour has the best popovers. That's usually the ones that I make. They are very, very good.
You actually make popovers?
Well, I use King Arthur's in it, and it's a box. I mean, you add things to it, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's a little, it's not just a box. You do some things with it, and I have a popover pan and everything.
Okay, so the difference between a popover and a muffin is?
Very big difference.
Okay.
A popover. Popovers are light. They're airy. I mean, pretty much, you know, and they come out of the pan and it's like this big crown.
Yeah.
You know, like a muffin crown. Like a, you know, just like a big.
Like a cream puff.
They're, yes.
Okay.
And then when you, and you cannot, when you're cooking them, mm-hmm. you cannot open the oven. Because if you open the oven, they're going to go.
Oh.
Yes. Oh, two of you.
That would be, I know.
You're both like,
no
right
idea.
On Marblehead. Yeah, that would be challenging for me. I'm an oven opener.
Well, you have to. I did that the first couple times,
which is, I guess,
because I've already done that. Yeah. But you really want, when you're making popovers, you want them to be nice, and you know when they come out, and
okay.
and then when you poke it, it's like all air inside. Really, it's yeah. just like this, and they're so good.
Nice.
So this is National Blueberry Popover Day, and there's wow. even a recipe here which I will put on our Facebook page. And you know, there's going to be a new and improved website coming too for Food for Thought NH. .com. And we're going to have like a whole recipe file of all of the recipes that we talk about here on Food for Thought as well. But yeah, I thought this was like a pretty cool, you know, there's a lot of ingredients and there's, you know, how when you bake, you have to be like perfect. So I'm not even going to attempt to even say it, but I just thought it was different. I never heard of blueberry popovers.
Yeah.
So yeah, so it's, okay, it's that. And it's also National Pack Your Lunch Day.
I did that today too.
I know. You know, what is this sitting here? What is that?
Yeah. Oh, this is my
favorite. I mean, is that what I think it is?
In the world. Guess.
Blueberries and peanut butter?
It's,
or almond butter?
It's blueberries and almond butter.
I figured
it's
you'd
my
be an
version.
Almond butter.
So a few years ago, I tried the whole paleo diet where you don't eat grains or bread. And I actually enjoy it a lot. And I still do a few things that I learned from it. But one of my favorite snacks from it is blueberries and almond butter, because everybody loves a good peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But like, how do you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich
without the bread?
So I saw this idea online and I absolutely love it. It's my favorite way to eat blueberries now. I just throw them in a bowl, put a little bit of almond butter in there, and
you
can take it anywhere.
That's good for you, too.
It's,
I mean,
really
you got your protein
you.
In there, and mm-hmm. you got your I would never have thought about doing
Me
that.
Me either, but it's my favorite thing now.
And your explanation of who doesn't love a good peanut butter and jelly
right.
sandwich just instantly made that less gross. Because,
because
right,
it looks kind of gross.
All you're doing is taking the bread away. It's the same thing, really.
Except it's fresh,
except,
plump
yeah.
blueberries.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah, because it does look a little bit
that.
Gross. People are like, what are you eating?
Well, it's just unusual. I mean, that's all. But then once you really think about it is. It's like the peanut butter and the best part of a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah. And I mean, you could even I'm asking actually because I'm not sure. I'm thinking you could even use frozen blueberries, right?
Probably.
Just, yeah, you know, yeah, like in the morning when you pack, you know, put some almond butter and then just throw some frozen blueberries, yeah, cover. And
for that matter,
by lunchtime. Well, anything really, yeah,
strawberries,
right?
Strawberries,
like I have like a mixture right now of like, yeah, a little medley of raspberry,
anything
blueberry.
Anything is good with almond butter. I love almond,
right,
butter.
Chocolate chips.
And it's much better for you than regular peanut butter.
Now, can I say something? So one of my biggest turnoffs when I would originally start to buy almond butter is just like buying the natural peanut butter. Mm-hmm. You have to stir it really, yep, good the first time. Then you can put it in the fridge and that does in the refrigerator and that does help. But you every time you have to stir it. So I found this particular almond butter, which now that I'm saying this, I'm going to forget what it's called. I'm going to have to come back to you. I just forgot. But it's a kind of almond butter you get right in the grocery store. And it really doesn't have to be refrigerated or stir. I did have to stir it a little bit this morning, but it really doesn't need a lot of stirring, which is really nice.
We've gotten ours at Fresh Market, and you can grind it right there
right
to
there,
order.
Yes.
You just get your almonds, and you go to the grinder.
Now, does it separate?
It does.
A lot?
It does. But, you know, I put it in, you know, we get it in like a little, well, kind of like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a big deal to stir it up, I guess, you know. So that's what we do. We go to Fresh Market. I love Fresh Market. Actually, I have to go there tonight for supper. I'm thinking it's my turn. I have to do dinner tonight.
Yeah.
And not that I have to, but just said that I would. I've been getting
so
used to his cooking.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're not going to cook tonight?
Yeah.
No, you can.
Like, throws you into a crisis.
I'm like, yeah, but you do it much better than me. And he's like, no, you're good. But anyway, I'm thinking I'm going to go get some more chili and sea bass. That was so good.
Really good.
It was so good. Oh my goodness.
I remembered it. It's Barney butter.
Barney butter.
Oh, so you can get that at the grocery store. Barney butter.
Yeah. And I actually think it's a little cheaper too than a lot of the almond butters because it can be more expensive than peanut butter.
Yes, it is. And well, and at Fresh Market, everything kind of tends to be a little bit more expensive there, but
you get what you pay for.
You do. You kind of just like Susan Osborne yesterday.
Yes.
You want to buy things at full price and you want to love them and you're worth it,
right,
which is the same, which would certainly follow through with what you put into your body.
Exactly.
Put in your body and on your body.
That's
right.
Right. Should all be top quality. Because
top quality. That we have to tell her we said that.
We will.
That's pretty brilliant.
It is pretty brilliant. Let's patent it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, let's just see. Don't forget grand opening. I'm sorry. It's not a grand opening. We're doing a ribbon cutting at the Red Arrow Diner in Londonderry on Friday, and it's going to be kind of exciting because we're going to be having our show there live that day, and that's going to be taking place right at noon. We're going to have the Manchester Chamber and the Londonderry Chamber are coming together and doing a ribbon cutting. And just so you know, we are going to be doing a grand opening over there for the whole travel center, and that's going to be a little bit down the line, maybe 3 or 4 weeks away. So stay tuned for that. We'll make sure we let you know about that. And you know what else I just want to mention? I might be a little early. Well, no, April 1st is right around the corner. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, I do have to start talking about this. But there's going to be an Iron Chef competition coming up April 1st. And it's going to be at Good Life. It is on North State Street in Concord. And it's going to be three chefs, one from Granite Ledges, one from the Birches, and one from Havenwood Heritage Heights. He's my guy, Jason Seavey. And I'm one of the judges.
Yay.
So I'm very excited. Actually, we have a meeting today in Concord to discuss, I guess, the whole thing.
Judging?
I don't know. All the judges are having a meeting about judging.
Excellent.
So that's exciting. So that's going to be taking place on April 1st from 5:30 to 7:30, nice, and an Iron Chef competition. So it should be really fun.
Beautiful.
So I think that's about it, right?
I think so.
Enough chatting. Oh, my goodness. Yes, we need to go to break. We need to go to break. You're listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street. And up next is Jean Kerr, the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor Magazine. It is a beautiful magazine. Stay tuned and let's hear what Jean has to say. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me today is Jeannie and Tracy, and we're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. Come on down, have some lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And without any further ado, let's welcome on Jean Kerr. She is the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor magazine. And, you know, it is such a, you know, when Mike Morin, he's the one that kind of made our connection.
That's right.
Is the one that made our connection. And, you know, when he handed me the magazine, I just, you know, I know good magazines. You know good magazines when you see them. And mm-hmm. the pictures in here are just so beautiful.
They really are.
They're vibrant and it's nice quality and it's beautiful. So let's hear a little bit more about Northeast Flavor.
Well, we always say, Carol, that we aim for lick the page photography.
I love like that.
And some of our readers have said that we've achieved that.
You definitely have. I mean, just look at these strawberries right here. It makes you just want to like grab one and bite one.
Yes.
I mean, they look real.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
really.
Well, actually, there's no food harmed in the taking of our photographs. So. A lot of food photographers will, you know, sort of alter the food for shine or for effect.
Right.
Or,
mm-hmm.
And just partly because of my work at our local soup kitchen, I don't like to waste food.
Yeah.
So we don't do anything to it that makes it inedible. The other thing is that when I'm at the photo shoot, I want it after they take the pictures.
How could you not? This food looks amazing.
And they're always slapping my hand because I'm always like, are you done with that?
You know, I am just like that because when we do tastings at the diner and we're testing different things and, you know, I do the same thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and what I always like to do, especially when it's a new dish, you know, even though it's not on the menu and, you know, because I know a couple of my managers and district manager doesn't agree with me, but I'll bring it out to the customer. You know, I'll break it up and I'll say, what's your opinion on this? You know, what do you think? You know, and because it's not
be
on the menu, I'm like, come on.
Either you're going to get constructive criticism
exactly.
or somebody's going to order that next time.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Congratulations on the new Red Arrow, too.
In Londonderry. Thank you. Yeah, it's going very, very well. Thank you. So how long has Northeast Flavor been?
We launched in the absolute depths of the recession in 2010, and everybody said, are you out of your mind? And, you know, it's a print magazine and blah, blah, blah. Print is, you know, but that is absolutely not true when you come to enthusiast magazines.
It's true.
You know, foodies want to see the pictures. They want to hold
love
it.
This.
Yeah. And I've had numerous readers say that they've saved every single copy since we launched.
For sure. So, this is definitely a saver.
Yeah.
It's a
keeper. Yeah, print, sure. If you're trying to convey timely information, yeah, online's the way to do it. But, you know, my chowder recipe in there is not going to be any less valid 5 years from now.
Exactly.
3 years prior. So. Yeah, people really love to hold it in their hands.
Definitely. I mean, like I said, the pictures are just so vibrant. And
yeah, and just as you've said, just to have that, not only do you get great ideas, like now, even just flipping through, I'll see a couple of restaurants I really want to try,
yeah,
a recipe or some ideas for things, but I'm not right now at liberty to act on those things. So
right.
you want to have that. So I'm going
to
talk to
Mike.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to make this recipe. I'm either going to bring it to the grocery store on my way out of here.
Right.
To load up or talk about, oh, wouldn't this be fun to cook together? Or let's go to that restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
The
and I think our readers rely on us for not only the editorial, but they like to know about new restaurants or a restaurant they haven't heard of.
Yes.
And I was aghast when we did a reader survey and something like 80% of our readers say, I'd like to see more restaurant advertising. Oh, you would you? We can arrange that. So, yeah, people, you know, it's sort of like fashion magazines. If you read Vogue, the first 50 pages is advertising. And, you know, fashionistas regard that as information as well.
That's true.
And even to bring things back to your mind that maybe you have experienced but forgot about, the library restaurant in Portsmouth.
Yeah.
I've been there once and I kind of forget. You know,
it's been around. It's a landmark.
Yeah, it is.
It's really, really great. It's really
gorgeous.
Great.
So do you do any of the stories in here?
I do some. I first met Mike when I think I had, maybe it was our first issue, and did a story with an interview with Bobby Flay. Maybe it was the previous. Anyway, Mike had a lot of celebrity chefs that he would interview on air.
Okay, now. Oh, Mike Morin. Okay,
Mike Morin.
I'm like, okay.
And he would turn that into a print interview as well. So He did for quite some time, did our celebrity chef interviews. But as you know, he's easing into retirement. So, yeah, very fun. Very fun.
And so where does the inspiration for the things that you cover in your magazine, because you look at any one of these magazines, there's so much here. There are so many neat things featured, not only foods and recipes, but, I'm looking through one that's historic inns or landmark inns, and you see those beautiful things. And just the inspiration for what is going to be covered for the magazine, I would imagine that comes from individual contributors. And then also, once people get familiar with the publication, they probably seek you out and say, hey, have you thought about this?
Yes. Yeah. And people do suggest things. They suggest things on our Facebook page. They ask for recipes. But there are sections of the magazine. So the beauty of it is that we try to stay seasonal. You know, because we talk about it's very different content for winter than summer, obviously.
Sure.
And, you know, people expect to see a lobster somewhere in the book in the summertime.
I would definitely think so.
But, yeah, we try and, you know, talk about farms and fisheries and sustainability and eating locally. But we're not political in any way. We like to think that we're providing some educational information, but having fun with it, because I don't want to politicize my food.
Many other things are.
Out of the food. There's a time and a place for that, and it's not with food. I agree. Yeah.
We like to have fun, and our readers are also big culinary travelers. So we like to cover, destinations and trips that they might take, and we sponsor some, wine festivals and local food festivals, like the Boston Local Food Festival, which is huge every fall. I've always said that the one problem we do not have is ideas for things to write about.
And how often does the publication come out?
It's
quarterly.
I would like it to be 6 times a year. It's a little too long because after about 2.5 months, I start getting calls saying, where's my magazine? Which is great because it means it's important to people. That's really, really like it. But
where can people find Northeast Flavor Magazine?
We have a lot of bonus distribution through hotels. The best and cheapest way to get it is just subscribe online. I'm sort of reconsidering our newsstand distribution because there's so much waste involved in that whole system. And we're not really big enough to compete with, People and Us Magazine or Bon Appetit, but that's probably, and we have, it's on Magster, so if people want to read it digitally, but most people don't.
No, I like to have, especially a magazine like this, you want to have it in your hands.
The full effect is not the same on your tablet or your...
Of having it digitally is just like Jeannie was saying, I wanted to try that recipe that's sitting on my dining room table. I'm out. I don't have the magazine with me.
Yes.
You can just pop out online. But you, I assume, need to have the subscription as well to get that.
I think we're thinking about if you have a print subscription, kind of throwing in. Oh, and I should mention that on Kickstarter, we have a Kickstarter campaign going. Yeah. Several of the rewards include digital back issues.
I saw that on
with
there.
The additional...
Well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go to break, and then when we come back, let's talk about the Kickstarter program.
Okay,
let's do that, because that's a pretty big thing.
Excellent.
That's a big thing. So you're listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building, and we are in studio with Jean Kerr. She is the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor Magazine. And what is the website, Jean? Northeastflavor.com.
Northeastflavor.com.
I just want to make sure. Northeastflavor.com. You can check them out, and you can subscribe. It's a gore. If you're a foodie.
Like us on Facebook.
And like them on Facebook. And if you're a foodie, you really should have this magazine. It's beautiful. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol. We are in studio today at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. You can give us a call at any time during the show. The number is 866-823-1077. And we are in studio with Jean Kerr. She is the editor-in-chief of Northeast Flavor Magazine. It's a beautiful foodie magazine. It's for anybody that loves food, which is just about everybody.
Yes. And it's so much fun because we get to have a regional focus. And, you know, New England food cultures is not really like anything else. It's, we have such history and, you know, well, you know, Yankees are survivors and they learn to deal with, you know, seasonal things. And we really celebrate that in our farms and our fisheries.
You definitely do. Go ahead.
I appreciate also that it looks like you try to span all different levels of
yes.
folks in their culinary skills.
Yes.
Because this does not look intimidating for someone who just wants to reproduce some of these recipes at home
yes.
or try a new restaurant.
Right.
But it's also going to appeal to those who are more finely tuned
right.
in their culinary skills.
Right. We like to make it very fun and interesting for people who like to eat and cook, but certainly we don't want to be intimidating. If I, the biggest difficulty with recipes is when chefs submit a recipe to me. I'm like, dude, this is like 3 pages long. You know, nobody yes. could find these ingredients.
Yeah,
so
right.
so then we kind of go back to the drawing board and I work to sort of translate those into for our readers
nice.
And work very hard at that.
And it's not just food. You also have a section that you call In the Glass.
Yes, we cover spirits. We've had some very fun spirits article. Our publisher actually sort of moonlights as our spirits editor and just writes very well. And then the owner of the Boston Wine School is our current wine columnist. And again, I have little patience with a certain kind of wine writing. It's got to be very down to earth for me. Mm-hmm. You know, without any of the jargon.
Fancy schmancy.
Yeah.
Because the sommeliers can get a little, you're right.
Yeah. And the Boston Wine School is, you know, they sort of build themselves as snob-free zone, which is something I really like.
And so many more people are drinking wine now. I read
Absolutely.
Something recently that it was, you know, we're drinking so much wine that we're changing, it's changing the way it's even being sold. So the majority of people are normal, down-to-earth people. That's the kind of stuff that
right.
we want to read. I want to read it in a language that I can understand it and learn more
yeah.
about wine. I enjoy learning more about that.
Yeah.
Starting from a level of not being a connoisseur.
Right.
Right. And how can you learn more about it? So,
one of our wine, there's a, I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it's called Vinho Verde. It's a Portuguese wine, and it's very light, very refreshing. There's nothing complicated about it. You know, if you're in a cafe in Portugal in the middle of the summer, an ice cold bottle of this stuff, it's not, you know, nobody's swirling it in their mouth or anything. You're just having a cold, you know, it's light, it's lovely. And I asked a couple of my wine friends, you know, do you want to do a story about that? And they said, there's nothing to say. I was like, okay, I'll write it. You know, and I love the writing in this magazine to be very personal. You know, I love personal anecdotes. I love personal stories. I love people's experiences. So that's kind of what it was. It was a reminiscence about a beautiful couple of summer days in Portugal.
And, you know, that's what I think drinking wine with friends and family and eating food is all about. Mm-hmm. It's all about making a memory and
yep.
You know,
I was aghast last night. We actually went to the movies and they were selling craft beer and wines. And this was at like
I've heard of
that. At a Cineplex in Newington, New Hampshire. You what?
See, changing the way it's being sold.
Yeah.
Who the fuck? And a movie theater.
I think they're fighting. People don't want to go out at night unless they can have their wine. You know, it's like, otherwise I'm staying home. anyway. So we're hoping to bring a lot more this Kickstarter campaign.
Yes, let's talk about Kickstarter campaign.
Which you can just go to Kickstarter.com or and just search for Northeast Flavor. And what we're hoping to produce is a special Chefs and Recipes edition, sort of compiling some of the recipes that we've done. Most of the big guy food magazines do that. And we'd love to kind of bring some of our content together, bring in some new chefs. And we've always had the celebrity chef aspect. But I think our readers, what I'm hearing from them is they really want to know more about New England chefs. Like, what's behind that kitchen door? You know, what are their recipes? So Kickstarter, for people who aren't familiar, is a crowdfunding source. It's a way that people can participate in a project and get rewards. And we've got things everywhere from well, the $5 level to the $5,000 level. So things for individuals, consumers, and also for businesses with good rewards. So,
and they can get that from, can they start at Northeast Flavor and then use Kickstarter from there?
I would go to Kickstarter first because they're a little, they don't really let you link otherwise.
Okay.
So if anybody wants the link, I will post it. It's on Facebook right now.
Okay.
But it's, you know, fairly easy to go to, Kickstarter and.
So Kickstarter campaign is a separate thing, but they're campaigning for you for Northeast Flavor. So
yes. Well, you create the project. Okay, I mean, and it's a fairly intensive project because it involved creating a video. There's a lot of work that goes into these campaigns. So we're really, really hopeful that we'll be able to bring this to people. Because people just, they keep saying, I want recipes, I want pictures, I just want more, more, more. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's what we're hoping to do.
Have you ever met Chef Evan Hennessy?
Yeah, I know of him.
At Stages?
Yes, and for some reason, he and I have never actually met in person, but we certainly, I think, know of each other.
Yeah, I went to his restaurant Saturday night.
Uh-huh.
And what an experience.
Yeah.
Very unique.
Yeah.
Extremely
unique. I've heard that.
And yeah.
We have our two Evans in Portsmouth. There's Evan Mallett at the Black Trumpet Bistro and Evan Hennessy, I think, who were both nominated for Best Chef Northeast in the same year. I think that's,
wow.
I think I'm right about that. But yeah, we love our
He's very Evans. Quiet. He's quiet. I mean, he was in the kitchen. There wasn't a peep out of him. I had to like get stuff out of him. I mean, you know, he's very, his cooking ability is just crazy.
Yeah.
His presentation and,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So how is it? I mean, this is my favorite chef of all time.
Oh, he's
Robert
great.
Irvine.
He's so great.
Is he really? So he really is.
Yep. I've met him.
You know, you hear about that and then you hear when you meet him, they're not nice. They're, you know.
Yeah. I won't go into the.
Well. Okay, no.
The list of who's naughty and who's nice, but.
No, we don't want to do that.
No.
I'm glad you said he's a nice guy. Like right here, you know, I love this, what he said. I don't consider myself a celebrity. I consider myself a good cook.
Yes.
Yeah. I really think that's great.
Yeah, he's wonderful. And when I've met him, he's been sort of just
so
like
you have
that.
Met him.
Yes. I mean, we used to sponsor the Mohegan Sun Wine Fest, and I have to be at breakfast, and there he's sitting, and I just introduced myself, and we chatted for a while. Then, you know, chatted in the green room before he's going on to do his thing. And then I've had some phone conversations because he was kind enough to list our Kickstarter on his social media page. And he's got 200,000
nice.
Followers. But he and I really connected around food education.
Yep.
I just joined the board of a group called Fair Tide, a nonprofit that works on sort of permanent solutions to homelessness. And my role as a board member there will be to take some of the residents that are transitioning into permanent housing and teach them, you know, healthy cooking things, kind of disabuse them of the notion that it's hard to cook.
Right.
You know, people get
intimidated.
They
don't have those skills.
They don't.
That's right.
And some of it is so simple and can be so healthy and mm-hmm. so much cheaper.
That's
than
right.
a lot of packaged or processed food. So I'm really excited about that. And Robert has the same sort of thing with his military,
background.
Families.
Yeah.
And, so we kind of connected on that, and he's a very nice man.
Yeah, he's like my favorite chef.
He's pretty amazing in person because he is
crazy, like big.
He's
that's
quite
what
fit.
I hear.
He is quite fit.
Bulked up.
I hear that from people that have met him. His arms are like huge.
In fact, when he was on stage at Mohegan one year, some lady came out of the audience and the MC said, "How much can you bench press, chef?" He's like, "Well, watch this." He did.
Right over his head.
Gosh. Oh my! He dropped me for sure.
He dropped me for sure. I wasn't volunteering for that.
Yeah, there's no way. Much as I like him, forget it.
Yeah.
Now I have to say, you have mentioned a couple times referring to your competitors, if you will, as the big guys.
Yeah.
And I have to just comment and say to look at this magazine. I know we said how beautiful the pictures are, but just from what I see of the writing, the articles, the content, the photographs, this does not look like a little guy.
Thank you.
I'm doing air quotes. You can't see me. This does not look like a little guy
Thank
publication.
You.
I really am just very impressed. It's beautiful. I can't wait to subscribe to it myself.
Thank you. We have accomplished, you know. we're kind of at a funny stage, though, because we launched the magazine in 2010. We invested our own money. we're in year four, and our business plan is always called for additional capital investment because we really want to go to the next stage. It's been such a great hit with the readers, but we really need to be six times a year, and we need to be able to, you know, extend our print runs and things like that. So I think we've proved that the idea works. But, you know, like a lot of businesses, to take the next growth step, you kind of need additional funding.
Right. But exactly. So you obviously are a foodie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So where's like a couple of maybe your, you know, go-to places that you go to? I don't want to say favorite because I don't want you to have to.
Oh, gosh, it's really hard. Well, our office is at Kittery Forsyth, just across the bridge from Portsmouth.
Okay.
And that has turned into this little foodie enclave. I mean, with a great Korean noodle shop, a great Indian restaurant, a great sort of high-end coffee shop, bakery. So there's plenty of stuff right around. With Portsmouth, I never know what to say. I mean, I love the Black Trumpet.
There's so many options.
I love Bossimo's, you know, the Wellington. They're just, and I hardly know what to say when somebody says, you know, we're in town, where should we eat? I don't know.
How many days do you have?
I'll give you 10 and pick one out of a hat. You know, it's just, Portsmouth is an amazing town.
It is.
And I'll
really
be at their
is.
Restaurant summit with the chamber tomorrow, talking to some of those guys. And as I mentioned, Popovers in Epping and Portsmouth is fantastic.
I gotta check that out.
And the Galley Hatch in Hampton, which has been around for two generations, I think, is now opening.
Around a long time.
It's going to be a gorgeous high-end Greek restaurant. So,
yum! Yeah. I love Greek too.
The Tiniosis are a long-standing Greek family that have done well, and they've all, John Tinios, the owner now, really wants to do this. And I got a sneak peek at their menu.
Oh
my God!
Yeah,
I am there.
Keep me posted. Oh
yes,
my gosh.
We
now,
will.
Popovers. They must serve popovers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, right. Not the Greek place.
I just want to make sure,
because
you know my luck, I'm going to go and they're not going to have them that day or something.
Yeah,
that's what always happens to me.
But Epping, I would think Epping and Portsmouth, they're always going to have popovers. So
good. Good. Jean, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you guys.
Letting us learn a little bit more about Northeast flavor. And you're listening to Food for Thought, and stay tuned. Up next, you're going to hear about my travels to the Tilton Winter Farmers Market and Kohl's Farmers Market. We'll be right back.